The pilots started to file out. Wedge noticed Aesir Salar give Gavin Darklighter a quick kiss. Then, when he had left the room, she turned toward Wedge.
Commander, do you recall a conversation we had a few weeks ago about my having to make a decision?
Wedge nodded. And I told you that if you chose to leave the squadron, I'd respect your decision. Of course, if you're doing that right now, I might not respect your choice of timing.
Aesir's violet eyes flashed coldly for a second. I want you to continue to respect my decisions and my timing.
She dug into the pocket of her flight suit and pulled out a data card.
I was ordered by my people to prepare a report about the Bacta massacre at Alderaan. The document was supposed to suggest that our delay in getting there might have been a deliberate human action. That data card has the only copy of said report. If anything happens to me, you'll dispose of it correctly, I hope.
Wedge nodded.
You're taking a big step, cutting yourself off from your people. I know that. But you've only asked me to fight and fly and possibly die. That I'll do for people I can trust. Those who ask me to betray friends, well, they've shown they don't want me to be trustworthy. So they clearly aren't.
Wedge tucked the data card in a pocket, then clapped Aesir on the shoulders.
Glad you're on my wing. I always like flying with someone I can trust.
Aiella effortlessly wove the armored airspeeder through the canyons and chasms of Coruscant, slowly closing in on the Justice Court building. Nawara Venn and Kirtan Lure sat in the back, the lawyer continuing to ask questions and Lure replying disdainfully. The Imperial agent had resisted giving them a full confession. He had produced a data card on which he said he had encoded complete dossiers on the Empire's operatives within the bureaucracy. He had also guaranteed them that on the stand he would reveal the identity of the traitor within Rogue Squadron.
Fine, Aiella had said, but can you give us Corrin's murderer?
Lure had smiled coldly.
The traitor set him up, and the traitor I will give you. Corrin's murderer was Isani Isod. Her you'll have to get yourself.
The airspeeder slid into the darkened tunnel of the Justice Court building and slowed. The vehicle stopped. And Aiella emerged. She took a quick look around, saw nothing, then pulled her blaster and checked the power cell. Let's go. We get to the lift, I input the code, we head down and through the prosecutor's office. Simple, swift, and no one will get hurt. Lure strode confidently. The lift doors, barely 10 meters away, opened with little more than a whisper. Something black moved within the lift. A shadow that resolved into the form of a man dashing forth. A blazing blaster held in each hand.
Die, Derrico! Die!
Scarlet bolts of blaster energy burned through the air. One caught Nawara Venn on the hip. A pair of bolts lanced through Kirtan Lure's chest. Aiella triggered a double burst that stopped the charge. Keeping her blaster on the assailant's form, she ran forward and kicked the pistols away. She sank to her knees and rolled the assassin onto his back. Even before she saw his face, the sounds he made and the feeling of his bony shoulders told her who he was.
Why, Derek? Why?
Derek Wasiri winced.
Lusankia.
Aiella's breath caught in her throat.
No. No, that can't be. She broke me. She made me into one of her own. She had me placed in Derricote's lab to watch him. She sent me to kill him before he could betray her. I had no choice. That wasn't him, though.
Aiella shook her head.
No. It was Kirtan Lure.
Derek managed a weak smile.
Good. I never liked him.
She fished in her pocket for a comlink.
I'll get emergency medical droids here. No, Aiella. Isod made me what others accuse Tycho of being. He isn't. It's over. I love you. Thank you for freeing me.
Aiella smoothed his face with her hand, then realized he'd slipped away. She gently lowered his head to the ferrocrete floor and kissed him one last time. Despite his fatigue, Wedge couldn't remember feeling better. Strapped into the cockpit of the X-Wing, with Minok behind him, Aesir on his starboard wing, and atmosphere below his fighter, he felt as if the galaxy's reset button had been hit.
Rogue Lead, this is Hunter One. We are taking heavy fire from the western approach. Help is needed.
I copy. On the way. Wedge shifted the comm unit to the squadron's tactical channel. Rogue 2, did you get that? Aesir's voice betrayed no nervousness.
I copied, Lead. After you.
Wedge rolled the fighter and glided out toward the target. The Justice Court building flashed past. Even in the distance, he could see blaster fire spraying out to cover the approaches on the west side of the building. As he swooped in, he saw a smoking lift truck slowly drifting down toward the ground. Wedge fired the X-Wing's four lasers in sequence, peppering the middle level of the building with energy darts. Other laser bolts shredded one of the two E-Web heavy repeating blasters just inside the doorway, killing the soldiers crewing the weapon. Aesir's X-Wing came in right behind him and repeated his strafing run. Aesir sailed on past him and pulled up to begin a loop, while Wedge goosed his X-Wing forward and brought it in line with the warehouse opening. Speeder bikes corkscrewed away to elude him. An ugly green light strobed through the warehouse. Wedge flicked his weapon control over to proton torpedoes. Scout walkers, three of them, two coming our way. I've got them. A proton torpedo streaked out, crossing the 50 meters between the X-Wing and the warehouse in the blink of an eye. The torpedo caught the rightmost ATSAT in the leg joint. The leg sheared off, but the impact spun the scout walker around. It crashed into the walker next to it, then rebounded and bounced to the ground. The proton torpedo exploded, detonating the walker's concussion grenade magazine. The second walker wavered, then slowly keeled over in an ungainly plunge toward the ground. The green light from the last ATSAT's twin blaster cannon again lit the interior of the warehouse. What is it shooting at? Wedge wondered. Flying into the warehouse, Wedge saw the ATSAT fire one last shot at the far wall, widening the breach. A heavily laden airspeeder shot toward the hole. The walker squared off to face him and protect the airspeeder. The others were decoys. This one is the bomb, Wedge thought. Wedge fired a proton torpedo. It slammed full into the cockpit. Swirling tendrils of smoke curled out through the hole, and Wedge knew instantly where the airspeeder had gone. He guided the X-Wing straight for the center of the hole the scout walker had opened in the side of the warehouse. This is Rogue Leader. The warehouse is clear. I'm out the other side in pursuit of the bomb. Deep below him, he saw the airspeeder level off. Let the Bacta storehouse know it's incoming, and so am I. With luck, only one of us will get there. Although Corrin maintained his pose as a Jedi statue as long as he could, the three men eventually noticed that there was something different about him. He's not the fat guy, one man said, staring. Doesn't matter. Kill him anyway. Corrin flicked the lightsaber on and sidearmed it toward the trio. The men on either side dove for cover. The center man shot twice at the lightsaber and missed both times. The lightsaber's silver shaft scythed through his middle and dropped him in two parts to the ground. A spray of blaster bolts forced Corrin to duck into the shadow of a statue. He used the lightsaber's glow to silhouette the obstacles in his way, then took off at a run, cutting around a statue in a display case, heading toward the doorway. Little holograms flickered to life behind him, drawing attention first to themselves, then to him. The first few shots that were fired at him burned holes in his cloak. Then his assailants raked the doorway with blaster fire, fire that should have reduced him to cinders. And would have, except the Jedi cloak he'd put on caught the corner of the display case. It yanked him from his feet. He hit hard on his hip and cracked his knee on the granite floor. Then he felt something solid thump against the wall behind him. He twisted around and raked the lightsaber upward. The bisected man fell. Just as the last man, who had been approaching the doorway, opened fire, Corrin sliced with the lightsaber, and the man crashed backward into a display case, then lay still. He extinguished the lightsaber and clipped it to his belt. Then he retrieved the second man's blaster carbine in the comlink and adjusted the frequency. A mechanical voice announced,
8 hours, 45 minutes, coordinated galactic time.
Great. I'm on some backwater world that sets its clocks to Coruscant time, no matter what the local situation is. He was about to leave when two irreconcilable ideas collided in his brain. It was clear that he was in some sort of museum or storehouse. The mansion from which he had escaped had obviously been an Imperial Moth's retreat. But the only Moth who would risk his position by hoarding so much Jedi material
was a powerful one, and powerful moths weren't found on backwater worlds. Actually, there were no moths so powerful that they would have defied the Emperor and Vader by hoarding this stuff. Only the Emperor. Corrin's jaw dropped open. It would explain why no one ever found Lusankia. It was here on Coruscant all the time. Which means Isard is, too. He shook his head. It's a long shot, but it's the only one I have. He set the comlink and opened a channel. This is Corrin Horn calling. I'm not dead, and I could use some help returning to the land of the living. Wedge pulled back on the X-Wing stick and leveled out approximately 300 meters behind and above the airspeeder. Minok, block out his routes to the target. Wedge continued to weave his way through the Undercity, cutting around buildings, over walkways, and through tunnels. Wedge glanced down at his monitor and saw various schematics flash past. Give me the lowest route in you can find. He banked starboard, then drifted forward, remaining just outside the corridor indicated on the map Minok had brought up. As he watched, he saw the airspeeder drop like a rock onto the route and began to follow it in. The lift truck that was going down when I first flew in must have been meant to haul this bomb to a point where it could head down to the Bacta store, he realized. Someone in the speeder spotted him and started shooting at him with a blaster rifle, but the bolts impacted harmlessly on Wedge's forward shield. The speeder pilot tried to make the craft juke, but every side slip just brought it lower and into Wedge's sight. He hit the trigger and sent a quartet of scarlet laser bolts to converge on the vehicle. The lasers vaporized the roof and filled the passenger compartment with fire. The speeder began to fall faster. Two more quad bursts from the X-Wing reduced large chunks of the vehicle into mist and metal hail. The vapor cloud, made up mostly of gaseous explosives, ignited in a flash, momentarily blinding Wedge. He kept a steady hand on a stick and rode the shockwave out. As his vision cleared and he flew through the smoke, he saw no trace of the airspeeder. Rogue Leader here. The bomb is gone. Report.
Three here, Lead. We are over the Minari Mountain District and have big anomalies out to the southwest. I have TIEs coming in. At least one wing.
I copy, Three. On my way. Wedge jammed his throttle full forward. Then he heard Rissati, sounding shaken.
There's something else out there. My sensors aren't picking it up well.
Wedge looked at the scans blade across his sensor monitor.
That can't be. It's a super star destroyer that goes by the name Lusankia.
Admiral Akbar took a seat at the high bench with Generals Madeen and Salm.
Captain Salku, your lawyer is not here because approximately an hour ago he was shot and seriously wounded in the parking facility on the upper floors of this building. The assassin has been killed, but we have sealed the building for security reasons nonetheless. Nawara Venn was shot in the process of bringing to court a witness who had recently surfaced to provide proof of your innocence. Unfortunately, the assassin who wounded Mr. Venn also succeeded in killing this witness.
Hala Edek stood. Admiral, the prosecution would be amenable to a continuance until Mr. Venn has recovered.
Granted.
Admiral Akbar raised a gavel. Tycho held a hand up.
Wait. Please. Isn't there something I can do? Isn't it possible for me to represent myself in Mr. Venn's absence?
Akbar nodded.
That has always been your right, Captain Salku.
Hala looked over at Tycho. Really, there is nothing you can do.
I can call a witness.
The prosecutor shook her head and pointed at her data pad. Not really. I have before me the list of witnesses Mr. Venn was going to call. None of the members of Rogue Squadron is here. The Duro Lynutka is probably dead. You have no witnesses. Imtray's clamshell head came up.
Whistler says we do have a witness.
Hala Edek frowned.
Who?
Before Imtray could answer, a man spoke from the court doorway.
Begging your pardon, Admiral, I think Whistler intends for me to be called as a witness.
Akbar's barbels twitched.
This is impossible.
It wasn't easy, Corrin Horn smiled.
But you know, Admiral, impossible is what Rogue Squadron does best of all.
Wedge remained in shock as the white needle of the Lusankia stabbed skyward, and the Super Star Destroyer laid waste to the area beneath which it had lain buried for years. Green turbo laser bolts pounded the cityscape, freeing the ship from its ferrocrete and transparasteel prison.
Lead, you have a squint coming up from below.
Thanks, Five.
Wedge dove into a looping roll. His lasers cored through the interceptor's starboard solar panel and pierced the cockpit. The squint spun until it crashed into a tower. Out to the south, the Lusankia's aft came free of the planet. Its hull appeared to be resting on a massive platform made up of hexagonal cells. It fitted the bottom of the starship perfectly, with openings in the hexagonal field so weapons could fire down at targets below, and TIE fighters could launch from the ship's belly. The Lusankia is built for space travel, Wedge thought, not fighting its way free of a planet. That platform must be a lift cradle, designed to get it up and out of the hole. With the prow stabbing up into the sky, the Lusankia's thrusters ignited, and the destroyer began to move forward and upward in a column of smoke. The massive ship turned its attention to a skyhook floating off its starboard bow. The turbo laser batteries started firing at the skyhook. Then the broadside assault shifted to other weapons as the ship slid past. In seconds, what had once been an elegant disc with an Ithorian jungle paradise at its heart became a moving forest fire that crashed into the district's towers. As the Lusankia picked up speed, the gunners began firing at the upper atmosphere. A hole opened in the lower shield. The TIE's fighting Rogue Squadron turned and launched themselves on an intercept course for the Super Star Destroyer. Because they were not capable of entering hyperspace themselves, if they did not rendezvous with the Lusankia, they would be stuck on Coruscant. Wedge addressed his pilots. Rogue, form up on me. We have 3 minutes at speed before we're right on top of the SSD. Let's harvest those remaining TIEs before she gets a chance to recover them. He saw Aesir pull up on his starboard stabilizer foil. No heroics, Flight Officer Salar. I want to return that data card to you.
As ordered, Commander.
Aesir's X-Wing pulled ahead. She stayed below and behind the TIE fighter until she'd closed the range to within 250 meters. Then she nosed her ship up into the eyeball's exhaust. Her lasers fired two dual offset bursts. The whole eyeball shuddered, then silvery fire jetted out through the forward cockpit canopy, killing the ship's momentum. The dead TIE dropped from sight with the grace of a hut in freefall. Nice shooting, Deuce.
Thanks, Lead.
Wedge glanced at the readout on his monitor. 2.5 minutes to range. Minock, give me a warning at 30 seconds. The Lusankia continued to pour fire into the planetary shield while what little ground fire came up at it splashed harmlessly on its shield. Cutting his stick to the right, Wedge followed Aesir through a banking turn that put her on a pair of TIEs. Aesir took one, Wedge the second. Minock gave Wedge the 30-second warning tone. Break off, Rogues. The rest are just running. It looked like a half dozen TIEs had survived the battle. As a screening force, they'd done their jobs and kept local fighters off the Lusankia while it emerged. Then Wedge heard Elise's voice.
Just a couple seconds more.
Four. Break off now. Elise's X-Wing fired a quad burst. It caught an interceptor on the starboard solar panel and right side of the cockpit. Something at the rear of the craft exploded. Then seconds later, the whole interceptor came apart. Report four. Fear was in Elise's voice.
Rudder's gone. Stick's sluggish.
Irisi, you're too close to the Lusankia. Get out of there.
As ordered. No, wait. Oh, no. They have a tractor beam on me. I can't break loose. Help me. Help me.
Pulling back on the stick, Wedge came up and pointed the nose of his fighter at the Lusankia. He thought he could see Irisi's X-Wing as a little speck against the Super Star Destroyer's bulk. But a sheet of turbo laser fire heading back toward him eclipsed her. Hugging the stick to his chest, Wedge brought the X-Wing over the top and pointed it back toward the planet. On me, Rogues. We're going home. Gavin Darklighter protested.
Lead,
We can't just leave her.
Enough, Gavin. That's a superstar destroyer. Just because we can do the impossible doesn't mean we always win. Corrin Horn smiled in response to Admiral Akbar's expression of disbelief. If someone is inclined to call me as a witness, I think I can shed some light on the murder charges against Captain Selku. Hala Etik nodded. We call Corrin Horn. Corrin limped his way up toward the front of the court. He squatted down beside Whistler. Thanks for guiding me in here, Whistler. Without you, I'd have been lost. The droid opened the storage compartment in his dome. Corrin reached in and pulled out his Jedi medallion and fastened it around his neck, then fished the ruined medallion from his pocket and put it into the storage compartment. Not quite a fair trade, my friend, but I'll make it up to you. Coming up from his crouch, Corrin looked over at Tycho and said in a low voice, I owe you an apology. A huge apology. And a debt I can never repay. All this is my fault, and I'm sorry I caused you to go through it. You're wrong, Corrin. Tycho shook his head. You were manipulated by the Empire. So was I. So was everyone here. I'll accept your apology, but I won't acknowledge your debt. I'll still pay it, or at least make a down payment on it. Tycho smiled. Getting the murder charge removed is a good start. Turning back toward the front of the courtroom, Corrin bowed his head to the tribunal. My apologies to the court, but there were things that needed saying. Akbar nodded.
Understood.
General Somm frowned.
Lieutenant Horn, how did you get here?
Under oath, Corrin explained in detail describing Lusankya, his escape and his discovery of Tycho's innocence. He concluded, As far as Isard was concerned, both Tycho and I were as dense as Duracrete. I was able to eliminate him as the traitor. There is only one other logical candidate for that position. Before Corrin could reveal the traitor's identity, a soldier burst through the doors and ran over to General Kraken. He said something quickly and urgently, and the Alliance Intelligence Chief shot to his feet, pointing at Corrin.
Lieutenant Horn, I order you to say nothing more at this time. Admiral Akbar, we need to use the adjoining jury room, now.
Corrin vaulted from the witness box and followed on Kraken's heels, while Tycho followed Corrin into the large rectangular room. Transparisteel made up the room's entire southern wall, and when Corrin looked out, his heart sank. The fearsome broadside of a superstar destroyer silhouetted a skyhook briefly, then sent it crashing planetward, a smoking crescent. Above the city, TIE fighters and X-wings tangled in a complicated dance, punctuated with fireballs and underscored with laser light. The superstar destroyer moved up through the first defense shield. Corrin frowned. Where did that ship come from? Whistler popped a sensor dish from his dome and spun it around a couple of times. Imtray translated.
Sir, he says that ship's transponders reported to be the Lusankya.
Corrin stared.
Our whole complex must have been one tiny part of an Imperial superstar destroyer, he realized.
Kraken held a comlink up by his ear.
The ship appears to have been buried beneath a portion of the cityscape, southwest of the Minare Mountains. It came up firing. Freeing itself, it devastated over 100 square kilometers. Millions are missing, presumed dead.
He looked over at Akbar.
Can you stop the Lusankya?
Akbar shook his head sadly.
Most of the fleet is staging in preparation for the operation against Senge.
General Krix Medin turned to Akbar.
The fact that the ship is headed out means escape, not conquest, is its goal.
A Corrin aide slipped through the crowd to Admiral Akbar's side and handed him a comlink. The Mon Calamari flicked it on.
Akbar here.
Antilles here, Admiral. We've broken off our pursuit of the TIEs and are returning to base to refuel and get ready to go out again.
Hearing Wedge's voice again sent a thrill through Corrin. Akbar responded.
I concur with your plan, Commander, but you needn't have informed me of it at this time.
No, sir, I know that. The reason I calmed is to tell you to let Tycho go. I know who the traitor is, and I can prove it.
What?
Akbar's mouth hung open.
Who?
Corrin smiled. Irisi Dalaret.
Who was that? How did he know?
Akbar shook his head.
Commander Antilles, how do you know who the traitor is?
Simple. Because of Horn's death, I had a subroutine added to the unit's astromech droids, allowing me to pull diagnostic data from them. Irisi Dalarit reported damage over the comm unit that her R5 didn't report. She claimed the Lusankia had a tractor beam on her and pulled her aboard against her will. Work back from there and it's obvious. We'll talk more when I get back. Out.
Tycho pointed toward the sky.
It's through the second shield and outbound.
Barely visible above them, the Lusankia exchanged fire with a Golan space defense station. The station's fire buckled the Lusankia's shield, but the huge ship continued to pull away. Corrin, recalling his promise to Jan to return and free him and the others, glanced at Whistler. Can you determine the damage to the Lusankia? Whistler blatted negatively and retracted his sensor dish. Corrin squinted but couldn't see the Super Star Destroyer anymore. Gone to light speed. I wouldn't like to be where that ship ends its journey. Kraken shivered. Isard was here all along, and now she's gone. Hala Etik folded her arms across her chest. I assume the evidence against Captain Selku was largely manufactured by her. Corrin nodded. I'd say that's a safe bet. If Captain Selku had been convicted and executed, she would have revealed the truth and made the New Republic look as bad as the Empire ever did. He turned and looked at Aaron Kraken. The General here knew Tycho wasn't a spy all along. General Somm glowered at the intelligence chief.
You mean you knew the truth, and you let me put this man through all sorts of difficulties?
Kraken shook his head.
Horn's right. I knew he wasn't a spy in Rogue Squadron, but I did not know whether or not he was an Imperial agent.
Corrin patted Imtrey on the shoulder. General Kraken took precautions to guard against Tycho being a Lusankia-style agent. He had Imtrey assigned to Rogue Squadron to monitor Tycho. Imtrey had some special circuitry and programming installed in him that transformed him into an invaluable tool for a spy. If Captain Selku had used him in that manner, General Kraken would have known what was going on. I suspect Captain Selku's prosecution was allowed to go forward to lull the real spy into a false sense of security. Kraken nodded. And to distract Isard. She has always enjoyed these little games.
Hala stared at General Kraken.
But you made Captain Selku into a pariah. People were likening him to Prince Xizor and Darth Vader. What you did was unforgivable.
No, it was precisely what had to be done. As for the negative image of Captain Selku that has been created, we can undo what has been done.
Wedge Antilles kept his face impassive as Mon Mothma stepped in front of him at the podium on the dais. The 10 days since the Lusankia's escape from Coruscant had been grueling. Abandoned Palpatine counterinsurgency front cells had begun to strike out anywhere and everywhere. With information gleaned from Kirtan Lure's data cards, Rogue Squadron, reinforced by Corrin and Tycho, had flown numerous pursuit and cover missions to curtail the PCF's activity. Bright lights flashed on as a dozen holocams began recording the New Republic's chief counselor.
Citizens of the New Republic, it is a great honor for me to be speaking to you from Coruscant, a Coruscant that is now safe and finally free of the Empire's evil influence. I am here now in the facility that is home to Rogue Squadron. You all have heard of this legendary unit. Its pilots have ever been in the thick of the war with the Empire. In recognition of their efforts to defend the New Republic, the Provisional Council has created a medal intended to be the highest award our government can bestow upon military personnel. It is the Coruscant Star of Valor.
As Mon Mothma turned and looked back at him, Wedge came forward and accepted a transparacial plate into which a citation had been etched. He hesitated, then spoke into the microphones.
Winning this award, taking possession of Coruscant, these things are not ends in themselves, but blazes, marking the trail we must all tread if the galaxy is ever to be truly free.
Mon Mothma resumed her place at the podium and began speaking again, this time describing Tycho's bravery and his service to the Alliance.
Let there be no citizen of the New Republic who harbors suspicions about Tycho Selku. His devotion to the New Republic is unquestioned. His return to active service with Rogue Squadron is a joyous event for us,
an event that should be feared by those who would attack the New Republic. Tycho bowed his head toward Mon Mothma, but declined an invitation to speak. Mon Mothma continued, "It is said of Rogue Squadron that doing the impossible is what they do best, and another member of the squadron has shown himself to be perhaps the best of the best at it. Is there anyone in the New Republic who has not heard of Corrin Horn? We know of Captain Selku's innocence because of a number of things. Chief among them, Corrin Horn's return from the grave." Corrin received a citation as the only person who had ever escaped from Lusankia, remaining loyal to the Alliance even under torture. Mon Mothma then thanked the Vratix, Clairn Hurf, for creating a substance called Rilka, an antidote to the Krytos virus that was now being produced in quantities sufficient to cure the disease. Mon Mothma continued, "Equally instrumental in the success of this effort is the woman who transported the components of the Rilka and rescued the Vratix from the most dire of circumstances, Mirax Terek. You may have heard that Mirax was killed in the ambush at Alderaan, but it appears her long association with Rogue Squadron allowed her to do the impossible as well." The New Republic's chief counselor led the assembly in a round of applause for Clairn and Mirax. The Vratix seemed utterly nonplussed by the demonstration, and Mirax blushed fiercely. She gave Wedge a fearsome stare. He knew what it meant and grinned. "She's right," he thought. "It is all my fault that she's being embarrassed by the attention, but I'm glad she's alive to be blushing." As nearly as Kraken and his intelligence people could make out, Irisi had betrayed the Bacta convoy to the Empire for two reasons. The first was to eliminate a lot of Bacta, dashing hopes on Coruscant and driving the price yet higher. The second reason was to get Mirax killed. Mirax had recalled Irisi threatening her if Mirax continued her relationship with Corrin, and the destruction of the convoy offered Irisi a way to get rid of her rival. But instead of going along with the final convoy jump, Mirax had shipped out to Borlaeus, where the captured Alderaan Biotics facility had been put to use, synthesizing Rilka. Mon Mothma faced the holocams one last time. "Citizens of the New Republic, what was once an empire is now just a collection of bitter people clutching at whatever power they can find. But they are doomed to failure, because all of us, human and non-human, young, old, hale, or infirm, can only give power. We cannot take it. Stolen power evaporates, and when it does, the empires that were built on it collapse, never to rise again." At the party following the ceremony, guests mingled with the members of Rogue Squadron, while holocams made the most of every holo-op. Borst Phalia cut through the milling crowd and nodded to Wedge.
"I wanted to congratulate you, Commander, on a game well played."
Wedge frowned.
"I beg your pardon?"
The Bothan tapped his claws against the barrel of his Lomanale mug.
"There was a report concerning Rogue Squadron's intervention at Alderaan. I understand it has been classified as most secret."
"Indeed it has." Wedge suppressed his desire to smile. "It struck me that the information about the situation at Alderaan could have compromised our Rilka operation. I suggested that classifying the report would be a good thing."
Borsk Phalia's creamy fur rippled up the back of his head.
"Good for you."
"No, Counselor. Good for you."
Wedge let his voice drop into a low growl. "You would have found the report less than satisfactory for your ends, which would have prompted you to try to destroy one of my people. I can assure you that would have caused problems."
"If you want to play at politics, Antilles, I would welcome you onto my battlefield."
"I don't want to play at anything, thank you." Anger began to build in Wedge, but before he could give it vent, he felt the weight of a hand on his shoulder.
"As stars live and die, I didn't think you'd be here, Luke."
The tow-headed Jedi Knight enfolded Wedge's hand in a firm grip, then pulled him forward into a back-slapping hug.
"I wouldn't have missed it for all the Tabana gas on Bespin. I was late because I've been studying the Jedi exhibits your man found in the Galactic Museum."
Wedge nodded. Corrin mentioned he'd found quite a haul. He said it was rather macabre.
Luke Skywalker nodded solemnly. As the Jedi in there were hunted down, the Emperor defaced their monuments. There's enough evil there to be palpable, but I think things can be set to rights again. I was hoping you'd introduce me to this Corran Horn.
Gladly.
Wedge caught Corran's eye and waved him over. Corran headed in their direction with Mirax on his arm and Claire and Herf following them like a shadow.
Luke Skywalker, it is an honor to present to you Lieutenant Corran Horn, Mirax Terek, and Claire and Herf. This is Luke Skywalker, Jedi Knight and founder of Rogue Squadron.
Corran smiled and shook Luke's hand.
I'm very pleased to meet you, sir. One of the first things Commander Antilles ever said to me was that I was no Luke Skywalker. You set a very high standard for all of us to shoot for.
Luke smiled. Not my intention, but I'm not averse to being used as a motivational tool.
From within his cloak, Luke withdrew a slender cylinder and held it out to Corran.
This belongs to you, I believe.
No, sir, I returned it to the museum, and the Jedi credit, too.
What I mean, Lieutenant Horn, is that this lightsaber belongs to you. They're often passed down from one family member to another.
Corran frowned. That lightsaber belonged to a Jedi named Nija Halcyon. It should go to his family.
So it shall, Luke insisted.
Nija Halcyon was your grandfather.
He wasn't. My grandfather was Rostek Horn. He worked for the Corellian Security Force. He wasn't a Jedi. He once partnered with one, liaised with him so Korsak could work with the Jedi on Corellia. But that was it.
Your father was Hal Horn?
Luke's voice remained even.
Yes.
And his given name was Valin Horn?
Yes, but everyone called him Hal.
Corran blinked.
You don't think that's short for Halcyon, do you?
What I think, Corran, is that Nija Halcyon died in the Clone Wars, and his friend, Rostek Horn, was there to support Nija's widow and son through the tragedy. Rostek married your grandmother and adopted your father. When the Emperor began to hunt down the Jedi and kill them, Rostek Horn, given his position in Korsak, managed to change records so that Nija's family was hidden from Imperial scrutiny. Luke pressed the lightsaber into Corran's hand and closed his fingers around the shaft. You may consider finding this lightsaber a coincidence or luck, but there's no such thing. I'll have you know that of the other 24 lightsabers in those rooms, only 3 worked without recharging. I am dedicating my life to reestablishing the Jedi Knights. I want you to join me. Come and train to become a Jedi Knight.
Mirax hugged Corran's left arm.
A Jedi Knight? This is quite an honor.
Corran shook his head.
No.
Wedge nodded at him.
Oh, it is an honor, Corran. One I envy you.
Corran's head came up.
I realize it's an honor. But my answer is no.
Borsk Phalia's jaw dropped open.
No?
No. I have things I have to do. Irisi and Isard have crimes to pay for.
Luke's face became impassive.
Beware revenge, Corran. Such black emotions open the way to the dark side of the Force.
Corran shook his head and pain washed over his face.
This isn't about revenge. It's about obligations I have to people. People who helped me. Other prisoners were on the Lusankia when it blasted out of here. I promised them I'd come back for them. Well, we know where they are. Typhara. It's time we go get them.
Wedge nodded. We clearly cannot leave Asani Isard and Fleury Voru in charge of the galaxy's Bacta supply.
Borsk Phalia's fur rippled.
But in fact, Commander Antilles, your quest will never take place.
What? The Bothan clasped his hands together.
The Provisional Council will never sanction an operation against Typhara. You have your orders to head out after Warlord Zinj.
Those orders were issued before Iceheart escaped with Irisi Delaret and Fleury Voru.
Borsk Phalia smiled.
Commander, the people of Typhara overthrew their own government and installed Asani Isard as their leader. This makes the revolution there nothing more than a case of internal political maneuvering.
A chill ran down Wedge's spine, as realization dawned on him. And the Provisional Council cannot allow itself or its agents to interfere in the internal politics of a world, because that would frighten off potential member states from joining the New Republic.
It might even convince some others to leave and break the New Republic apart.
Borsk Phalia glanced at Corran Horn.
You might as well accept the Jedi's offer because your unit can do nothing on Typhara. Rogue Squadron has other duties now.
Corrin arched an eyebrow at the Bothan. Okay. I quit. The fur on the back of Phalia's neck rose high.
You cannot. Antilles, talk sense into him.
Wedge snorted. I've heard sense, and it's coming from him. Wedge understood that there was no way he could advance the Vratex case before the Council. The Vratex were the backbone of the Ashern, the independence movement on Typhara, and Isar's only opposition. The proposition that the Provisional Council backed the Vratex would meet with the same wariness as any other plan that suggested interference with Typharan internal politics. Wedge rubbed a hand along his jaw. I joined this rebellion to fight the Empire's tyranny. The New Republic might not be able to strike at Typhara, but there are rebels who can. I quit, too.
Forsk Phalia turned to his left. It would appear, Captain Selku, that Rogue Squadron is now your command.
Tycho shook his head.
I'm out as well.
Nuwara and I are out. Rizzati Inir chimed in. Gavin Darklighter smiled.
I quit, too.
Errol Numm, Ural Korg, Iniri Forge, and Riv Shiel all nodded in agreement.
We're out.
Aesir Salar slipped in under Gavin's arm. I resign.
Forsk Phalia stiffened. You're a boffin! You cannot!
I'm a rogue. It is done. The boffin counselor snarled.
You can't do this! You have no ships!
Corrin glared at Phalia.
Begging your pardon, counselor.
But I never signed my X-Wing over to the Rebellion. I have a ship.
Very well for you, Lieutenant Horn, but no one else does.
Forsk Phalia's amethyst eyes burned with fury.
The rest of you have no resources for getting ships. One X-Wing and some broken-down tramp freighters will take on a Super Star Destroyer?
Merrick shot him a nasty glance. The state isn't broken down. They need ships. I can find them.
This is insanity. You cannot do this.
Forsk Phalia raked his fur back down into place.
Jedi Skywalker, convince them of their folly. They will fail if they try.
Luke looked solemn. As my teacher Yoda told me, there is no try. One can only do or do not. It seems, Wedge, those are your choices.
No choice at all, Luke.
Wedge smiled broadly.
We were Rogue Squadron.
We do.